Chapter 2 Mad Bhakto Become My Devotee. In the last chapter, we began explaining the best and Sarvaguhyatam, or most secret verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Giving examples, we explained what is Manmana Bhava. Just as Krishna gave this instruction to Arjuna on a battlefield, we are also in the midst of a battle. We are at war with the tendencies of the mind, which is restless by nature. At that time in Kurukshetra, there was a war going on between the Pandavas and Kauravas. Just as this Manmana Bhav was difficult for Arjuna then, it is also difficult for us now. The Pandava army consisted of 7 Oxohinis, or military phalanxes, and the Kauravas' army consisted of 11 Oxohinis. Opposite us also is an army of 11 Oxohinis, and we are alone. Krishna was the driver of Arjuna's chariot, but our driver is bad intelligence, deformed intelligence. Krishna had a chariot given to him by Agni, which could not be burnt or destroyed. But what kind of chariot do we have? Only the material body, which is subject to disease and death. Arjuna had the Gandiva bow for fighting, but what do we have for fighting? We have no help. Such is our position of weakness. Who was sitting on the flag of his chariot? Hanuman. Arjuna had all kinds of help, but at once his mind became disturbed, and he said, "Prabhu, I am unable to do this Manmana Bhav." The body is our chariot, the soul is its passenger, and the mind is its charioteer. What is the nature of the mind? Restless. It gives us no help at all. By its direction, we will fall down or stray from the path. At first, with folded hands together, Arjuna said, "Shishyas te ham sadi mam tvam prapanam." Bhagavad Gita 2:7. In all ways I am now surrendered unto you. As you instruct me, I will do. He heard all of Krishna's instructions and then said, "I am unable to do this Manmana Bhava. How will I absorb my mind in this way? It is not possible." Opposite us are Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Duryodhan, and Dushasan. So many great Maharathis are assembled together to fight against us. Opposite us are also 6 Maharathis. What are they? The urges of speech, the tongue, the stomach, the genitals, the uncontrolled mind, and anger. We cannot conquer even one of these Maharathis. Even such exalted personalities as Vishwamitra and Narad were affected by one of these Maharathis, the sexual urge. In the Ramayana, it is described that once Narad desired to marry a princess, but he was defeated at a Swayamvar or marriage ceremony when Vishnu gave him the face of a monkey. Beyond these Maharathis, there are so many kinds of Anartas we must contend with. Therefore Krishna said, "Mad Bhakto, you become my devotee." Arjuna considered and said, "Saying one will become a devotee is easy, but to actually do it is very, very difficult. To become a devotee, one thing is especially necessary. Anya bilasita sunyam. Jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktya uttamam." Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. You shouldn't have any type of material desire. For attaining bhakti, for attaining the service of Sri Krishna, or a real devotee, there cannot be a scent of any other desire in the heart. What to speak of the desire itself? There cannot be even a scent of it. Listen to this attentively and become like this, and then you will understand bhakti. Otherwise, it will be very difficult. There are to be no tendencies of jnana or karma. Without karma, no man can live. He must at least do some karma. Even at the time of sleeping, we are doing some karma. What are we doing? Breathing, changing position, and dreaming. This is all karma, so it is unavoidable. Without doing some form of karma, we cannot live for even one moment. Anyone who says that he is living entirely without karma, he is a pretender. We must do some karma. We must eat, and to save ourselves from the cold, we must wear clothing. But how will we escape from karma covering our bhakti? This action will not cover bhakti. When eating, don't forget Bhagavan. Eat for Bhagavan, for his service. In our present condition, we also cannot live without jnana. Knowledge is also necessary. Without knowledge, we will not even know where to place our feet while walking, and we will fall. But see how these things can cover bhakti. In the name of helping others, Bharat Maharaj made a mistake and fell down. He had been practicing bhakti and attained a very high stage of bhakti, up to bhav. He saved the baby deer from the mouth of the tiger and from drowning in the stream. Afterwards, he maintained it by feeding it milk, thinking he was benefiting another living entity. But because of this activity, he had to take another 3 births. Therefore, although jnana and karma will remain, they must be kept in a position of servitude to bhakti. Otherwise, our bhakti will become covered. So how will we engage our jnana and karma? By going to the market and bringing good quality fruits and vegetables for the service of the deities. The deities will accept the offerings and give prasad to everyone. By this, bhakti will not be covered. Instead, it will increase. On the other hand, we may bring all first-class ingredients, like the best carrots, pure cow's ghee and coconut, make very beautiful halva, then add silver topping. But if it is for our own enjoyment, then everything is spoiled. This action will cover our bhakti, so we must be careful for this. If we have made this preparation, thinking, I have made this, I brought the ingredients, I collected the necessary funds, and I will enjoy it, and afterwards offer it to Bhagavan, then that is somewhat all right. But it is not completely correct. Don't offer it only after preparing it, but rather from the very beginning it should be offered to Bhagavan. Yagna tat karmano nyatra. Bhagavad Gita 3.9. Your action should be a sacrifice for Bhagavan. This is the instruction of Gita. Whatever you eat or drink should be for a sacrifice. Yad kurosi yad ashnasi, yad jojosi dadasi yad, yad tapasyasi kunteya, yad kurusav mad arpanam. Bhagavad Gita 9.27. Whatever you eat, if you perform a sacrifice, if you are keeping a garden, all should be for offering to the deity. In general, the spiritually inclined people of this world are going on like this. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Gaudiya Acharyas have taught, don't do things in this way. Beware, you'll be trapped. Rather, we should first offer our very selves to the deity. I am yours. Then whatever we eat or do will automatically be for Bhagavan. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Iti Pumsarpita Vishno Bhaktis Chain Nava Lakshanaha Kriyeta Bhagavati Ado Tanmaye Ditam Uttamam Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5 23 and 24. hearing and chanting about Krishna, remembering him, serving his feet, worshipping him, praying to him, becoming his servant, becoming his dear friend, and fully surrendering to him, this is ninefold bhakti. Performing these nine types of bhakti is the topmost knowledge. Even if all of these are performed, but the results are offered to Bhagavan afterwards, then it is karma mishra bhakti, not pure bhakti. The people of this world generally don't know this. They just think that they should offer things to him. But pure devotees understand the shortcomings of this. Therefore, we should first offer our very selves, not just the results of our karma. Those who follow the path of karma offer that. It is like a small boy who is eating while sitting in the lap of his father. When the boy sees something, he just puts it into his mouth, and he puts food into the mouth of his father also. And his father is not offended. The father is pleased. Why? The boy is fully dependent on him. He may even punish the boy, but the boy would never leave him. In order to develop a relationship like this with Bhagavan, we first offer everything to our Guru. Because in our present condition, he is to be seen as Bhagavan. When we develop a direct relationship with Bhagavan, then there will be no necessity of formal offerings. The gopis are eating and decorating themselves, but they don't make any formal offerings or perform puja to Krishna. They are using many good quality things in the course of dressing and decorating themselves and applying their ornaments. But who is it all for? Whatever they do is for the pleasure of Krishna. As soon as something comes to them, it is automatically for Krishna. In this way, we should do everything exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna. Such bhakti is difficult to attain, and it requires that we have some merit from our previous lives. And if in this birth, by the mercy of Bhagavan and the Vaishnavas, we have been graced with the company of pure Vaishnavas, then pure bhakti can come. The story of Bilva Mangala Thakur nicely illustrates this point. Although he had some merit from his previous lives, some specific desires for enjoyment still remained in his heart. He kept company with the prostitute Chintamani, who had after some time become exclusively interested in Krishna and therefore rejected Bilva Mangala. After this, he crossed the river to her place using a dead body for flotation and used a snake to climb up to her window. She rebuked him, and after that he became renounced. Now, having a great desire to meet Krishna, he left his home and began heading towards Vrindavan. Perhaps 5 days later, he stopped at a well to get some water, where he saw a young girl who gave him some water to drink. But he forgot about drinking the water and began gazing at her. He followed her home, and there a brahmana came to the door thinking, "Why has this Mahatma come?" Bilva Mangala asked, "Who is this girl?" The brahmana replied, "She is my wife." Bilva Mangala said, "Call her, I want to speak with her for a little." So he called her, and when she came, Bilva Mangala asked her, "Please give me both of your hairpins." The brahmana and his wife thought, "He is a traveling mendicant, so perhaps he has a thorn or splinter in his skin that he wants to remove." So they gave him the hairpins. Bilva Mangala did have a thorn he wanted to remove, but that thorn was in his heart, and he was unable to reach it. Therefore he took the hairpins and plucked out his eyes. There is a saying in Hindi which means, "If there is no bamboo, there will be no flute." These eyes can be the root cause of our attachment to this world, insofar as the form of a woman attracts a man, and the form of a man attracts a woman. and both are the personification of Maya. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures have warned us to be very careful about this. Now blind, Bilva Mangala went on his way. He was in such a mood of deep separation from Krishna that now all of his senses were centered on Bhagavan. On the way, there were many obstacles, such as mud holes and streams, but he was resolved in his determination and deeply meditated on Krishna as he was going towards Vrindavan. Then one day, a young boy came to him and said in a sweet voice, "Baba, where are you going?" Being pleased, Bilva Mangala replied, "My son, I am going to Vrindavan. Where are you going?" "Oh, I am also going to Vrindavan. I make my living there." "Vrindavan, then come with me and hold my walking stick." They went off together, and wandering, they arrived in Vrindavan. On the way, what happened? Inside his heart, Bilva Mangala experienced so many realizations about Krishna that were just like nectar. This is called sadhan. Bilva Mangala was a sadhak. What we described in the previous chapter concerning the gopis was the stage of perfection. As the Ganga emerges from the Himalayas and flows naturally towards the sea without any special effort, in the same way, the tendency of the gopis' hearts flows in the direction of Krishna's feet without ever stopping. This is the level of perfection. But here we are discussing sadhan. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and other scriptures declare that Bilva Mangala was a sadhak. But then, what are we? We are not even sadhaks, being only on the first step of Vaidhi Bhakti. Will we be arrogant enough to call ourselves real sadhaks? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atmanivedanam. There are two kinds of these nine devotional activities. One is Vaidhi Bhakti, and the other is Raganuga Bhakti. Devotion works in these two ways, and we must follow them both. It is not that we will leave Vaidhi Bhakti, but internally our feelings will change. Our external forms will remain the same, but internally we will have Nishta, firm faith. Those that have this can be called real sadhaks. How do they perform sadhan? With tears flowing from their eyes, they perceive their hearts as being in the form of a flower, and they offer that flower to the feet of Krishna. But without being asked, automatically Krishna will come and take that flower. Just as in the case of Bilva Mangala, he was a sadhak, and in the end what happened? Krishna himself came and led him by the hand to Vrindavan. He was engaged in such sadhan that day and night he was in deep meditation, but not just passively. He was doing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, and Padasevanam, all in the mood of a Sakhi. From the beginning, he did it with the sentiments of a Sakhi. We should also execute that kind of sadhan, wherein there is not even a trace of karma or jnana. Then gradually, one's own internal swarup will bloom, and in that form, we can offer direct service to Krishna. A Raganuga devotee should practice sadhan like this. There is also the example of Raghunath Das Goswami. Externally, he appeared as a sadhak, but internally, he was a perfected soul. Internally, he had fully realized his eternal swarup. But how did he behave externally? Sankhya purvaka nama gana natibi kala vasani krito nidradhara vihara kadi vijito katyanta dino chayo radha krishna guna smrite madura mandanena samohito Vande Rupa Sanatano Raguyugo Shri Jiva Gopalako. Sri Sat Goswami Astakam 6. He would take Harinam in a regulated manner and would daily only drink water after completing 1 lakh of Harinam. Daily, he would offer at least 1,000 full Dandavat Pranams to Vaishnavas, special places of Krishna's pastimes, and the holy Dham. He was very meek and humble, and day and night he was absorbed in thinking of Krishna. In his childhood, he had received initiation from his family guru, Yadunandan Acharya, and he attained the association of Haridas Thakur, by whose influence he began taking Harinam. He is an eternally perfected soul, but here we will describe the activities he performed as an apparent sadhak, which we should all accept and follow. After some time, Raghunath Das was married to a girl of heavenly beauty. He was like a prince, and his physique was very soft and beautiful. At a very tender age, only 16, he went mad in separation from Krishna. Many times he tried to leave home, but his family would always catch him and bring him back. He received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu by offering some service to him, and was then able to escape from his home. He ran at night by the path through the forests so that he would not be detected. For 7 days, he didn't eat or drink anything until he arrived at the house of a milkman who fed him some milk and puffed rice. At such a tender age, walking day and night, he finally arrived in Jagannath Puri. Nowadays, when we travel to the Dham, we make a train reservation and take 1 or 2,000 rupees in our pocket. But this is not the conventional standard for going to the Dham. Raghunath Das had completely left his home and family. Without taking any money or worrying about any arrangement for his eating and sleeping, and constantly crying in eagerness to meet Krishna, he arrived in Puri, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Mahaprabhu said, "You have left the stool pit, the home of a materialist, to come here." And he embraced him again. Sitting nearby was Swarup Damodar, and he placed Raghunath Das in his care, saying, "Swarup Damodar will be your everything, your father, mother, brother, guru, everything. Today I am handing you over to him, and therefore you should not worry about anything." Just see how Bhagavan personally placed him into the hands of such an exalted guru. Raghunath Das began staying in Puri and living in a most renounced fashion. How did he eat? His wealthy father wanted to make arrangements for his eating, but he rejected them. He would take the discarded rice from Jagannath's kitchen that was even rejected by the cows, wash it, add a little salt, and maintain his life by eating that. His only possession was a clay pot for drinking water. He didn't even have a plate or a blanket. Since Puri is situated on the shore of the ocean, it does not become too cold or too hot. So making some arrangement or another, he would sleep there. Taking a piece of old cloth left behind by others, he would make a pair of kopans, and wearing just those would perform bhajan. But in comparison, look at the clothes that we wear. After his 48th year, Mahaprabhu left this world. In separation from him, Raghunath Das gave up eating altogether. Day and night he was crying. This is sadhan, and someone who lives like this can be called a sadhak. Then, in separation from Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar gave up his body and entered Golok Braj. Then Raghunath Das gave up even drinking water and simply cried day and night. He could not remain in Puri. Why? His condition was like that of Nanda Baba after Krishna had gone to Mathura. Everything in Nanda Baba's house reminded him of Krishna. Krishna's yellow cloth, Krishna's flute, Krishna's peacock feather, etc. He was in such intense pain that he thought that he must leave his home. He went to the banks of Yamuna, and there he saw the footprints of Krishna, and he became overwhelmed in lamentation. He saw the tree from which Krishna had jumped into the Yamuna and subdued Kaliya, and his remembrance of Krishna just increased, and he had to close his eyes. Then he went to Govardhan, and there it seemed that all the trees were bent in separation, lamenting, "Where has Krishna gone?" Seeing Radhakund, Shyamakund, Kusum Sarova, and Manasiganga all just increased Nanda Baba's separation, until finally he returned home again. In the same way, everything Raghunath Das saw brought remembrance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar. Unable to stay in Puri, he walked all the way to Vrindavan. There he offered himself at the feet of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, and they asked him, "Why have you come here?" He replied, "Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar have left this world, so I also cannot stay. I will give up my body by jumping from Govardhan. Otherwise, I will drown myself at midnight in Radhakund, thereby attaining the feet of Radhika. For this reason I have come." Just see what a thing divine separation is. Rupa and Sanatan prevented Raghunath Das from committing suicide and gave him a place to live at Radhakund, where he executed all of his service. When, after some time, Rupa and Sanatan also left this world in separation from Mahaprabhu, he thought, "Upon whom will I rely now?" In his separation, Giriraj Govardhan appeared to be a python ready to devour him, and Radhakund appeared to be a tigress. Nandagram, Varshana, and all the places of Krishna's pastimes now appeared empty. In separation from Rupa Goswami, he again gave up drinking water, and only occasionally, for maintaining his life, he would take a few drops of buttermilk. Lamenting and rolling on the banks of Radhakund, he would cry, "He Radhe Brajadevi Ke Chalalite, He Nandasuno Kuta, Shri Govardhana Kalpa Padapatale Kalindi Vane Kuta." Sri Sat Goswami Astakam 8. O Goddess of Braj, Radhika, where are you now? O Lalita, where are you? O Prince of Braj, Sri Krishna, where are you? Are you sitting beneath the trees of Govardhan, or are you wandering in the forests of Vrindavan? Calling out in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami would wander in the four directions of Braj, overwhelmed in a mood of great separation. In this way he performed bhajan. At that time he would take the realizations of his heart in the form of flowers, and making a garland would offer them to the effulgence of the toenails of Srimati Radhika's feet, uttering Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. This is the sadhan for meeting Sri Radha and Krishna. By practicing Karma Yoga, in the snap of a finger it is possible to go to the heavenly planets. After performing austerities, Dhruva even attained Vaikuntha in that very body. But the Krishna bhakti that we are describing here is very rare and difficult to attain. Raghunath Das Goswami composed an offering of a handful of flowers in the form of a lamentation entitled Sri Vilap Kusumanjali, where he was praying for the service of Radhika. "O Radhe, when will I get the opportunity to sweep your house? In the form of a gopi, with my own hair, I will wash your drains with scented water. When will I get the special opportunity to apply kumkum to your feet?" These were his prayers. Such devotees are real sadhaks. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Here, for us, what is the meaning of Vishnu Smaranam? Remembrance of Radhe, and remembering the amorous pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna, Raghunath Das wrote, "The descriptions of Sri Radha and Krishna's pastimes are my only ornament. I have no desire to hear anything besides this, and I have no desire to go even to Vaikuntha. Taking just a piece of roti for my maintenance, I will never leave Vrindavan or Radha Kund. My body may leave here, but my very life will never leave here." This was his nishta. Great eagerness to attain the service of Bhagavan is necessary for sadhana. These devotees are real sadhaks. But what are we? We are just on the first step of bhakti, which is shravanam and kirtanam. And that also is of two kinds, nitishtita bhakti and anishtita bhakti. Our sadhana is included within anishtita bhakti because our intelligence has not yet become immovable. Someone may be thinking, "I will do bhajan here at home with my parents because they are getting old anyway." Or having heard that the household is likened to a lake of hell, I will leave it and join an ashram. But then again, Arjuna, Srivasacharya, and the gopis were great devotees, and they were grihasthas, therefore I should remain a grihastha. But Narad, Shukadev, the Goswamis, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all referred to family life as a dark well and left it. They were unable to do bhajan there. What will I do? All right, I will remain for some time and then leave it. No, on second thought, I will go immediately. In this way we go on undoing what we have already done and being undecided. We have no nishta, firm resolution. We are practicing bhakti, but it is anishtita. So we should endeavor to make our intelligence immovable and come to the stage of nishta. After attaining nishta, there are four kinds of anartas, obstacles to cross over. By sincerely taking Harinam and hearing Harikatha, then without being called, automatically pratishta, prestige will come. Mukti swayam mukuli tanjali sevita sman. Dharmata karma gayata samaya pratikashaha. Krishna Karanamrita 107. Mukti, liberation, with folded hands, will be standing behind us, saying, "Prabhu, can I serve you in any way?" The eight yogic perfections will also come and stand behind us with folded hands, ready to offer their services. Having attained nishta, then we may be able to absorb our minds in Krishna somewhat, but still some anartas will remain. The reactions to our previous karma will still come, of either sinful or pious actions. Or we may be practicing karma mishra bhakti, covered bhakti, bhakti with selfish desires. Then the fruit of that will come also. What big people of this world try so hard to attain but don't get. These things will automatically become present for us. Abundant prestige will come to us, and we can easily become drowned in the enjoyment of that. Therefore, be especially aware of this. There are four kinds of anarta: dutskritota, or those arising from previous sins; sukritota, or those arising from previous piety; bhaktyuta, or those arising from imperfect service; and aparadota, or those arising from offenses in chanting. Or if we even unknowingly commit an offense to the feet of a Vaishnava, then its reaction must come. We must leave these four kinds of anartas behind and move forward in sadhana. Our nishta will transform into ruchi, and after ruchi, then ashakti will come. In the stage of ashakti, we will have complete attachment to our bhajan. Guru goshte goshtalayeshu sujane busharagane swamantre srinamni braja navayova dvandva sharane sadadambam hitva kuru ratim apurvam atitram, ayesva tan pratash chatur, abhiyache dritapada. Sri Manashiksha 1. Raghunath Das Goswami says, O mind, taking your feet, I request one thing of you. Have deep attachment for the mantra which the Guru has given. Have deep attachment to those places where Krishna has performed pastimes such as Radha Kund, Shyama Kund, Govardhan, Nandagram, Varshana, Sanket, and the best place of all, the place of Radhika's residence, Yavat. Ultimately, for rendering service to Radhika, one must live in Yavat. You should be attached to all of these places with deep sentiment. We should have nishta and ashakti for both bhajan or worship and bhajaniya or the object of worship. Bhajan is shravanam and kirtanam and so forth, and bhajaniya is Sri Radha and Krishna. When our ruchi becomes fully mature for both of these, it will be ashakti, and then by the mercy of Bhagavan, one's heart will never deviate from him. This is all included within Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. This story illustrates how Krishna cares for those who have really become his devotees. There was a Brahmana devotee of Krishna who had read many scriptures and many commentaries on the Gita and Bhagavatam. He read the Gita every day, and while reading, many spiritual sentiments would arise within him. He wrote down his realizations and desired to publish them so that ordinary people would be able to easily understand them. In this way, he was engaged in bhajan. From the beginning, he never took any employment. He would only beg for 1 hour each day, and the rest of the time he would study the scriptures, take Harinam, and perform Shravanam Kirtanam. He married, and he and his wife were very content together, living on whatever Bhagavan gave them. They had no material desires at all. They only read the Gita and contemplated spiritual topics. In the early afternoon, when most people take their main meal of the day, he would go out for begging. His wife would prepare whatever he collected, and the couple would subsist slowly on that. His wife only had one piece of clothing. One day, he took his wife's cloth and tore from it enough pieces to cover himself to go out and beg. Before going out, he had been writing down the meaning of Gita verses one after another. Then this verse came, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryapasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yoga shemam vahamyaham. Bhagavad Gita 9.22. He began to analyze this verse, Ananyas chintayanto mam. Those whose minds are fully self-controlled, who have no other object of meditation besides Krishna. Ye jana paryupasate, one who worships Krishna in all ways, especially by the medium of Shravanam and Kirtanam, becomes situated very near to him. Tesham nityabhyuktanam, for those who are fixed in performing bhajan like this, then its result also is for the happiness of Krishna, not for themselves. Even if a person of bad conduct engages in this type of exclusive bhajan, then Krishna will accept him. And if that exclusive sentiment is not there, then Krishna will never reveal himself. This verse is related to sadhan and not the stage of perfection. To those who have exclusively taken shelter of Krishna, he is their protector and maintainer. Besides him, there is no other. The Brahmana's nature was very humble and surrendered. While studying this verse, many nice sentiments were arising inside him. Then he came to the last line of the verse, Yoga Shemam Vahamyaham. Krishna is saying that for his devotees who engage in bhajan in this way, he will supply all of their requirements, such as food and water, and even collect them and carry them himself. The Brahmana stopped and thought, "How can this be? This is not right. Why am I now an old man over 70 years old? Up until today, Bhagavan has never directly looked after us like this. We have been engaged in exclusive bhajan, and today there is not a single mouse in our house. Why? Because there is no food in the home. We don't even have any earthen pots to catch the rainwater. There is nothing in our home, not even any foodstuffs for today's meal. I will go out to beg, and whatever I acquire, we will take only that." Isn't Bhagavan seeing this? Is he not inside all souls, witnessing everything? Certainly he hasn't taken care of us, as he is saying in this verse. Maybe if we require something, he would inspire another person to come and help us. But he would never carry a burden for us on his own head. I cannot accept this. Then with a red pen, the Brahmana scratched out this verse, thinking, "It is not possible for Krishna to have spoken this verse. Someone else must have inserted it." Then he went for begging, thinking, "Krishna will carry what we require on his own body? Perhaps he would inspire a king or some wealthy man to come and help us, but he wouldn't carry anything on his own head. The all-knowing and all-powerful Prabhu. I have heard that he made the poor Brahmana Sudama into a king, but he didn't physically carry any burden for him. I have never heard of this." He put it out of his mind and went begging. Wandering and wandering, 3 o'clock passed, and he still hadn't collected a single thing. For instance, one man said to him, "Baba, I am sorry, but our house is impure. For 3 days we cannot give anything because one of our family members has just died." Like this, he didn't get anything. So he started for home. Meanwhile, at his home, what was happening? A beautiful young boy with a dark complexion and wearing yellow cloth arrived at the gate carrying a bunga, a long stick with a bag of goods on each end on his shoulders. The bag on one end contained rice, dal, ghee and spices, and the bag at the other end contained sugar, vegetables and different things. He did not appear strong enough to carry it. He was young, perhaps only 14 years old, and his limbs were very delicate. He was perspiring, and arriving at the gate he called out, "Guru Anji, wife of the Guru, please open the door." The Brahmana's wife replied, "What, my husband has no disciples?" The boy replied, "Yes, yes, it is possible." She said, "Then who?" "I who am speaking, I am a disciple of your husband." She thought, "What is this? Where has he come from?" She was unable to open the door because she didn't even have enough clothing to properly cover herself. But Krishna understood everything, so he handed his own shawl through the door for her to wear. He said, "Mother, Guruji has sent me. We have obtained all these things today. He grabbed me and sent me here, saying that he will be coming soon. I asked him to please wait a minute so I could get a drink of water. But he said, 'No, you can drink water and all that later. Go immediately to my home.' Seeing that I'm such a young boy, still he loaded all this onto me and sent me here." Hearing all of this, the Brahman's wife began to weep and thought, "Such a tender young boy, and he is perspiring as well. Doesn't this Brahmana have any mercy? He himself will come empty-handed, and he has loaded everything on this poor boy. He has no mercy." Showing her his back, the boy said, "Mother, he also scratched me with his nails." "Oh, it looks like it will bleed." She took him on her lap and said, "My son, when he comes, I will give him a good talking to. He poses as a big self-controlled devotee, but he cannot even show mercy to a child. My dear son, please come inside." She brought him inside and said, "Sit here, I will prepare something. You will not leave here without being fed." She went to the kitchen and began to prepare the rice and dal and vegetables that he had brought. Then there was a knock on the door. The Brahmana had arrived. "Open the door," he said. Very annoyed, the Brahman's wife went to the door and said, "Have you brought anything? You have come empty-handed. You loaded everything on that poor boy and then scratched him with your nails. Don't you have even a little mercy?" The Brahmana replied, "What? What are you talking about? You know very well, that boy you sent here and loaded up with everything you collected. Who? I don't know anything of all this. You loaded it all on that poor child, and you have brought nothing yourself. Where is he then? Come inside and see." They went inside the house, but the boy was nowhere to be seen. They searched the entire house, and all they found was a thread of yellow cloth where he had been sitting. After searching and not finding him, the Brahmana took his Gita in his hands and opened it. Discovering that the red ink with which he crossed out the verse was no longer there, he began weeping bitterly and said, "Today for us, see how Bhagavan has carried our burden. This is our evidence. My doubt is now dispelled." This is bhakti, and an example of the sadhan that produces bhakti. Arjuna said, "Prabhu, to do this here on this battlefield will be very difficult. I could not do manmana bhava, and I also cannot do madbhakto. Please tell me a method which is simple, straight, and easy." Next, Krishna will explain madhyaji, worship me. Thus ends chapter 2 of the Nectar of Govinda Lila.